Good morning and welcome, listeners, to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road, right across from DP&L. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com, or you can give us a call at 937-293-3914. I'm Jeff Pedro, in with Mark Avery, and we're glad to be here on this special broadcast, Independence Day broadcast, and we can't think of a better way to celebrate the Independence Day than talking about our Second Amendment rights and shooting and related topics. And I want to encourage any of our callers, if you have any questions, comments, concerns related to shooting, to legislation, whatever the case might be, give us a call at 457-1290. That's 457-1290. And I'd like to start off today's show realizing that we probably have quite a few new listeners today, just giving you a little bit of overview of what we do at Sim Trainer. Sim Trainer is a full-service indoor shooting range specializing in firearms-related training, giving members opportunities to shoot on a recreational basis. We also have a competitive shooting league, but the big impetus of what we do down there is firearms training and education. And I want to encourage anybody that might be listening today to come on down and take a visit or visit us and try us out. We're going to be running a special today. You come on down to the range. If you have any firearms-related problems, maybe you've been to the range a couple times and you're pulling low and to the left, and that's kind of the most common error that we see. It's a real easy fix for us. We'll be more than glad to help straighten that out and get you back on track firing straight. And whatever the case might be, if you have any questions, concerns about pending legislation, about past legislation, about the concealed carry law, whatever it might be, Mark and I will be on hand from 10 to 2 today. That's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. today. Feel free to stop down the range. And if you do so, we're going to be offering a special for $25. You can come down, shoot on the range. You'll get an associate membership that'll normally cost you $75 plus our free advice and our free training, helping you through whatever issues you might have, and we'll be more than glad to help you along those lines.
We won't give them advice unless they ask for it. I mean, unlike the radio show where we just give out free advice whether people want it or not. But we won't force our advice on you, but we'll be more than happy to offer.
The one thing I want to encourage our listeners, or actually discourage our listeners from doing, if you stop in and you tell me that your gun is shooting low, I'm going to give you a little bit of advice. I'm going to take you on the range. I'm going to show you that the gun's not shooting low, and we'll take care of that problem.
Yeah, fixing that low and left problem has nothing to do with moving your sights.
That's right.
The secret.
That's exactly right. But we have we feel that we give people the opportunity to come into the range, and maybe they've been shooting for a long time, and they just haven't had any formalized instruction. And today, just as an example, we'll make it very informal, and it'll be very effective because we can do in a very short period of time what sometimes takes other people whole classes to attempt to do, and we're very proud of the fact that we're able to do that, and we certainly want to offer our services to you. So free training, reduced price membership, just a great opportunity to celebrate Independence Day.
Yeah, normally the membership is $75. That's $50 off, and the lessons are normally $50 an hour, so that, you know, that's a pretty good deal for folks. Plus, this is just to let everybody know that normally we're not open at that hour on Monday. This is, in fact, normally we're not even open at all on holidays. We normally close the range on holidays and give our staff an opportunity to celebrate with their families as well. But Jeff and I are opening up the door today in order to bring the Second Amendment into your Independence Day celebration. So come down and join us at 2031 Dryden Road in Marin.
The Second Amendment Foundation declared the week of July 4th through the 11th as National Firearms Training Week, and consistent with that, we just wanted to provide some opportunities because we'd mentioned this on previous shows, and I know I hinted on it, on Saturday, that you know, it's a good idea to go out and get yourself a good insurance policy to protect yourself if you're a concealed holder licensee and you're carrying a gun. You may potentially use a gun in defense of your life or the life of someone else. It's just good to have an insurance policy, but I think even more important than that is that you be properly trained and that you practice with your firearm. And that's the main advantage to joining a range and participating in recreational shooting. There's a lot of fun involved in recreational shooting, but also the practice and the repetition is going to make you much more prepared, much more capable if you were ever to be involved in a real incident. And that's what we specialize down at Sim Trainer. We like to provide you with the base knowledge and training, and then we give you the opportunity to shoot on a regular basis to keep that skill, sharpen that skill, and keep, retain that skill over a period of time.
And we'll do that, as well as also have a brief kind of a legal update. There's been an awful lot of things happen in the legislature so far this year. There's still some other things pending. And if you have some interest in what those are and how that affects you, those of you especially with a license to carry concealed handgun, we will cover that a little bit as well, and maybe take 15 or 20 minutes in the classroom and just kind of go over some of the things that are going on and things that you can look forward to in the next few months as the legislature, well, of course, they'll probably take a break for the summer here coming up real soon, but there are still some things that are pending and that will have plenty of time to be addressed before the end of the session after the election next year.
For those of you that may be tuned in for the first time today and you've thought about, well, I've always thought about wanting to go shooting, I want to provide you with some information that might be useful. We have this coming Saturday on July 9th from 9 a.m. to 12 noon is our award-winning First Shots class. And the First Shots class will give you an opportunity to come to the range. The first hour is devoted to its classroom portion, devoted to firearm safety, range safety, basic functional operation of firearms and how they work. And then we take you out in the range for the second hour. And under the direct supervision of our trained staff, we give you an opportunity to shoot 50 rounds in a controlled fashion. And then we come back in the classroom and we talk to you about how you can continue your training and or talk about you know, whether you want to enjoy recreational shooting and other shooting opportunities, so that when you leave there, you've got a good idea of, you know, what you need to do or what's available to you. And it's a great 3-hour opportunity to come in and get exposed to the shooting sports and start your training in firearms. And then that's, again, this Saturday, July 9th, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. And then 2 weeks from a week from then, on the 16th of July, the 16th and 17th, we have our monthly session of concealed carry class. It'll be a 2-day class from 9 to 5:30 on Saturday and Sunday, and that class will provide you with the training certificate that you will then take to your sheriff's department in your county or an adjacent county and apply for your concealed holder's license. It's a 15-16 hour class, and the state mandates 12 hours, but we ramp it up a little bit because we have an attorney come in that talks about the civil and criminal aspects of gun ownership, carrying a gun in defense of your life, and maybe ultimately using a gun in defense of your life or the life of another. And it's a very comprehensive 3.5 to 4 hour presentation where he talks about the law as it's written and related issues, whether it's case law or statutory law in this state and other states. He'll address a little bit about, or talk a little bit about, reciprocity when you're traveling out of state and the like. And the one good thing about that class, when you leave that class, there's very little left to your own speculation. You may not like what you hear in some areas, but at least you have the knowledge to make informed decisions, and we think that's one of the key aspects.
Yeah, and he does an excellent job. He's an attorney, and often, you know, those of us not in the legal world think of the law as a sort of dry topic. We have someone who has a passion for it and really understands the firearms issues and recognizes that people who are going to carry a firearm need to really understand the use of force issues and how to deal that with that, and he really brings it alive. So it's an excellent class. We also offer that as a separate legal update for those who already have their license to carry concealed handgun and they would like to get a refreshment on what's going on in the legal world and how does that affect them, or maybe they didn't have an attorney teach the legal portion of their class when they got their license in the first place. This is a great way to do that. We offer that for $49, and that will be the Saturday afternoon, in this case, of our class on that weekend in July.
Yeah, many people that got their concealed holder's license back in 2004, there have been some pretty substantial changes, and hopefully they stayed up with them on the news and then ultimately taking a peek at the Attorney General's website and or checking the actual statutes. But a lot of people don't. They just kind of go by word of mouth. The advantage to attending legal update is you're going to hear it directly as it was listed or written in the law, and then Jim will give you his interpretation of what that entails. And there have already been some cases where aspects of the law have played out, so he can talk about realistic, real-life situations that have occurred and talk about how the law applies to those situations.
Jeff, let's go out to our phones and talk to Mark in Vandalia, who has a question, again, about legal issues. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you. That's more of a, I guess, a for what it's worth, protest kind of thing.
Okay.
But I don't get to hear you guys on the air much, so this is nice. But I've had my concealed carry since 2005, and and I occasionally will stop as I travel. I will stop in a bar for a beer, as I'm headed to the lake or whatever, and make sure I don't drive while, I rarely have more than one beer, so I never have to worry about, driving under the influence. Some of the places as I'm traveling around different parts of the area, I'm told the bars can be kind of rough, and I'm just in there to have a beer. And the new carry in a bar, I think, is great. However, and I guess it goes back to the age old argument about carry, period. The bad guys are going to carry guns in the bar whether they're drinking or not. And if I'm carrying and it's for my protection, and I'm not, I guess the long and short answer, question or statement is, if I'm below the legal limit for driving, I should also be able to drink in the bar, I believe, because that's kind of, if they think you're okay behind a 4,000-pound vehicle to drive under a certain limit, I think that you should also be okay to carry a weapon that way.
Well, if you want to get an argument on this, you're going to have to change the topic, because you're going to get an awful lot of agreement on this end of the microphone, at least.
I've
actually pushed to have that restriction on consumption removed. And the way the law was originally written, you would have been able to consume beer, but not liquor.
Okay.
And that was changed in the House in the very last iteration after it went from the Senate back to the House. There were some folks in the House that objected to the fact that they had actually finally read the law and read the provision and definition of liquor. And the law said no consumption of liquor. And that did not include beer specifically in a different portion of the Ohio Revised Code, but did not include beer. And
well, that would have been easier for me to take. I still think as long as you're under the legal limit of to drive a vehicle, if you want to have a drink while you're in the bar, liquor, I don't have a problem with that either. It's right back to, I went through the trouble of getting the concealed carry, and if I want to go in for protection with that, I know the rules, I know the laws, I know what to do. The bad guys don't care about that anyway.
Thanks very much for calling. We completely agree with you. We need to take a break here real quick, so we'll pick this up on the other side of that break. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
I want to welcome our listeners back to this special Independence Day broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. I'm Jeff Pedro in with Mark Avery, and we're from Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. If you want to get on the air today, please give us a call here at the studio at 457-1290, and we'll be more than glad to talk to you about any of your gun-related issues. Right before the break, Mark from Vandalia mentioned he had some concerns about having to carry in bars, and our Mark mentioned that he's not going to get much objection here. I just want to provide a little bit different perspective. As a career law enforcement officer, I don't disagree with Mark's call and his comments when he called in. However, I am very grateful that the legislature has passed this phase of the law in our continuing what I'm going to call evolution of the whole process of concealed carry. I think this is going to be a process. I've mentioned this before, and here we are 7 years after the initial passage of the law, and we've already had, I believe, three major revisions that I think have been decided in favor of the pro-gunners who, the good thing about what we say, most of the time what we say plays out, and it's the truth, contrary to the anti-gunners rhetoric of, a hail of gunfire in the streets, shootouts at OK Corral, and now the most recent proposal was if they pass this legislation, there's going to be crazy shootouts in bars, and drunk people with guns are going to do more crazy things than they've done in the past.
We can't mix guns and alcohol.
Yeah, that's exactly the assertions or the arguments that they're making. But again, as we've said many times, the same kind of course of action I think is going to play out now as it played out in 2004, and those things just aren't going to come to fruition. And
well and I understand Mark's point, and that, and I agree, I would much rather have had the ability to consume a beer when I go in and have dinner than to be told by the state that that's a felony. But on the other hand, would I rather have what we have now than what we had before that, or would rather will have come September, October timeframe? Yeah, there's no question about that. I'd much rather have the bill that did get passed than have nothing passed at all. Let's go out to the phones again and talk to Pete in Centerville, who's got a comment for us. Pete, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. I've got a question. Actually, three questions that all relate.
Okay. Well, ask them quick because we got about a minute.
Okay. The first question is, I understand there's a petition going around to repeal the Restaurant Act. Is that true or false?
I don't know if it's true, but I haven't seen it. If that's the case, I doubt seriously that it's going to get any legs.
Okay. The second question is, what gives a public establishment the right to deny my Second Amendment rights?
Well, they aren't.
I'm licensed.
Okay. They can. It's private property, and it's not a governmental organization, so they can do whatever they choose on their property, and then you get to do whatever you choose.
Okay, but they can't deny someone on race. Okay, it's public, it's private property, so I don't understand that.
Okay, I'm not going to be able to explain it because it's frankly an inconsistency. I tend to agree with you that there should certainly be no criminal charges associated with that. On the other hand, I do believe that private property should be private, and people should be able to do whatever they choose on their own land. And frankly, I disagree with the fact that they can't decide who they're going to serve to. I mean, I certainly would never support making a decision based on the color of someone's skin. But you know, if that's what somebody wants to do, I think they should be free to do that. And I agree that's an inconsistency.
Well, I think the precedent
question is what can my family do if I'm denied my right to carry in an establishment and I'm shot and killed? What recourse do they have?
Oh, that's a good one. We'll have to take that one up after the break because we have to run out to the news center with Liz Anderson. And when we come back from that break, we will talk more about that and other issues. Give us a call at 457-1290 if you'd like to be on the program. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio WHIO. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro in for Shooting from the Hip, and we're glad to be with you on this Monday morning, Independence Day. If you'd like to be part of the show, give us a call at 457-1290. 457-1290 is the number into the studio, and Justin will be taking your call and getting you up on our board to share with the discussion and to add your comments and your perspective on what's going on here. One of the comments that the question that we had just before we had to punch out for the news was from Pete in Centerville, who had a comment and a question about what happens if I am a person who goes into a place that prohibits me from carrying my firearm and something happens in there. And my family, then after that criminal has gone in and done whatever he does, and because I have been disarmed and unable to defend myself as effectively as I would have otherwise, I'm fatally injured in my family, then what recourse do they have against the property owner that put up those signs? Under current law, there is a prohibition against liability. There is an immunity from liability coded into the law, whether you permit people to carry on your property or whether you prohibit them from carrying on their property. So although they could sue, their probability of success is greatly reduced because the law balances towards the property owner, regardless of what the property owner did in making that decision. Personally, I kind of disagree with that. I think that the prohibition is an action, and therefore, if they, you know, they obviously aren't going to be able to stop the criminal from coming in with a gun by putting up a sign or establishing a prohibition. And so the only people that get prohibited are the people that are legally carrying a firearm, and those are the only ones who will obey that sign. So that biases the situation against the individual, the law-abiding citizen. And if the property owner puts up a prohibition and doesn't provide some alternate means of security, active security and defense to keep somebody who is a criminal from coming in, I personally think they should be not liable for the actions of the criminal, but liable for the impact of their prohibition on the law-abiding citizen. The law does not currently state that. There is a very short clause that says or the fact that you have prohibited carry. I don't have the exact phrase, but that's basically what it says. It doesn't matter whether you permit carry or prohibit carry. Either way, there's a limitation on liability. So that's one more thing on my long laundry list of items that I think ought to get changed over the long term. And my state representative has seen that list and has acknowledged receipt. I really have to I have to give credit to the guy, because he's even come in here on the show and suffered my abuse, because he gets a lot of input from me. And I think if your state representative or state senator doesn't get a lot of input from you, then there's really nothing that you can say about what happens. It's not something you've had any input to, and so you can complain about it, but it's really partly your fault for having it go the way that you didn't want it to go, because you didn't take that action. Okay, rant over. Let's go back out to the phones and talk to Tim in Springfield. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Thanks for calling this morning. Happy Independence Day.
You too. I've got a real quick question you might be able to help me with.
Sure.
Fairly new concealed carry owner, and travel a lot in my car. And from what I've learned in the class, I have to keep the weapon on my hip at all times or in contact with my body. What's the rules about putting it in a console or glove box while I'm traveling in my vehicle?
Okay.
And is that changing under the new bill at all?
Yeah, you're talking about travel in Ohio?
In Ohio, yeah.
Okay, because what I'm going to tell you does apply only to Ohio. The way the law currently reads, you must have it in a holster on your person. You could have it in a glove compartment or console that's closed. You can have it in a case that is closed with a zipper, snap, buckle, or lid, and the case is in plain sight. Or you can have it in a case that is locked, and that case does not need to be in plain sight. Those are the four ways that you can currently carry a loaded firearm pursuant to your license when you're in a motor vehicle. Now, when SB 17 goes into effect in end of September, first part of October, all of that will change. There will be no more restrictions on how you can carry a loaded firearm pursuant to your license in Ohio. That means it has to be a handgun. It can't be dangerous ordnance, which means you can't have a 33-round magazine attached to it. But other than that, there would be no restrictions. It would still be all the same restrictions and requirements for carrying of an unloaded firearm for those who do not have a concealed handgun license, or for those that are carrying something other than a handgun, like a rifle or a shotgun. Those would still have to be unloaded and carried in the way that you carry an unloaded firearm. None of that changed under SB 17. But the way that you as a licensed individual will be able to carry changes in the first part of October. So right now, there's those four requirements, and yes, in a console or glove box that's closed is an acceptable means.
All right. Very good. You answered my question.
Well, thank you very much for asking it, and thank you for joining us at Shooting from the Hip. Let's go out to...
Have a great weekend.
Thank you very much, and to you too. Let's go out to Donald in Sandusky, who's got a different view. Don, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. My opinion on the alcohol is my grandfather used to be sheriff of Erie County. My dad was an attorney, a judge, an ex-highway patrolman. I was in the courtroom a lot with my father, and everybody's tolerance of alcohol is different.
No question about that.
I've seen people that are totally, pretty much smashed after one beer.
Yeah, those would be small people who didn't have anything to drink, to eat, but yeah, that's certainly possible.
Well, yeah, and I thought originally that they were going to not allow in a bar prime that it had to be a restaurant that served alcohol, but I think it got changed.
No, it was always allowed in any place that served alcohol. It didn't make any difference whether it was a bar or a restaurant. There are other states that have a division based on the percentage of income the business derives from the sale of alcohol. That was never in the Ohio law.
Okay. Well, I understand that now, but still, as I think, I do disagree with anyone having any sort of alcohol while they're carrying.
Well, and the current law doesn't allow you to have any sort of alcohol while you're carrying. So what you're saying is that you agree with the way that the law that will go into effect. The current law allows you not even to be present. But the law that changes and at the end of September will allow you to be present. You won't be able to consume any alcohol of any type, beer, liquor, wine, anything. So what you're saying is you do agree with the way the law was implemented.
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. And that's fine. And obviously that was probably required in order to get the bill passed because there were other people. There were several people who made statements that indicated that's what they believed that the bill did initially, and that wasn't what the bill did. And so by the time it got through the last House amendment, that is what the bill does.
Right. Well, when I teach a class, and I heard that your class involves an attorney, we involve an attorney up here also.
Awesome.
And he said that, you know, just calling in question, having one beer, and in other states I do know, I do have other friends that are instructors in other states, that having one beer here and calling it into question, if you had to use your firearm, that it really could be called into question and you could serve some heavy liability.
Well, let me ask you something. Because the way the law currently is, if you go to a restaurant that serves alcohol, you follow the current law, you take your firearm, remove it from its holster, place it in your motor vehicle, secure it. I would certainly hope that you have some means of locking it in there. I do. And then you go into the restaurant, you have dinner, or you just go into a bar and you have bar snacks and a drink, mixed drink or one beer, and you are not impaired by legal definition. In other words, that you are perfectly able to pass a field sobriety test. Obviously, the blood alcohol content is going to still be well below the normal level, the legal limit. And then you leave that facility, you go out to your vehicle, you take that gun and put it back into your holster and drive off. That is the way the current law permits. Now, how is that different from leaving the gun in your holster and going in and doing exactly the same thing and getting in and having two less opportunities for some sort of bad thing to happen because you're handling your firearm?
Oh, no, I agree with it totally, but I disagree with having any alcohol. But, no, I do agree with a person that's totally in control of his faculties to carry his firearm anywhere except for the places that are prohibited.
Okay, but what you're saying is that it's okay for them to carry that except for the places that are prohibited, but then you support prohibiting carrying while you're having that one beer. That does not make you impaired.
No, I would not say that at all, because like, as I said, in my experience, I've seen people that are out of control after just a small amount of alcohol.
Don, there's another issue that comes into play, and I think that is the major issue here, is the people who are interested in making it so that there's no alcohol consumption are mainly dealing with, even though they may not realize it, the issue of decision making and their ability to make good decisions while impaired to varying degrees. And what you say is true. With an extensive law enforcement background, I know that people can consume one beer or six beers, and the person consuming one may show outward manifestations of more extreme intoxication as the person having consumed six. But the issue that I think comes to the fore here is, let's give two quick examples. If you're in Joe's bar consuming alcohol, you have one beer, and a robber comes in and creates a situation where you or someone else's life is in imminent jeopardy, and assuming the law wasn't the way it is, you pulled your gun and you used deadly force to defend yourself or another, that would be the same if I was in Joe's bar and had not consumed any alcohol and did the same thing. The end result is the same. I used a firearm to defend my life or someone else's life in imminent jeopardy. The unfortunate reality is there are some people that think because you consume the beer that you're going to have more civil liability exposure than I am because you consume the one beer or two beers versus me consuming none. When in fact, the issue is, in both cases, that was a legitimate use of deadly force. Okay?
I understand that.
Now, again, I'm not necessarily personally in opposition to your opinion on this because I've seen this play out in court also. But I think the biggest argument is then what kind of contradicts all that is, if that same individual is at his own home or stops by my house on the way home from wherever he's at, he has a beer or two and then gets into an altercation, there's nothing illegal under the proposed law because that only applies to liquor establishments versus private residences. So there's lots of issues that come to the fore, and I want to address this topic when we come back from the break, but we're going to go have to take a break at the present time, and we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that. You're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO. I want to welcome our listeners back to the show, and right before the break, Don from Sandusky brought up some very interesting points, and Again, we had here on the radio show that we want to provide the forum for the exchange of ideas like Don brought to the table. And some of these issues aren't really going to be resolved in the short term or the long term, for that matter, but it certainly will provoke discussion that will hopefully allow our legislators and also people who otherwise have reactions to these issues to be more informed. And I think that that's going to be a major benefit of this show and for people listening to the show. And related to the issue Don was talking about, this whole concept of impairment versus consumption, it applies as equal in gun issues as it did in car issues and still does. And the good thing is about all this, I personally don't think it's really going to matter because responsible gun owners are going to act like responsible drivers, and they're not going to get themselves in situations where they're consuming or violating the law because they simply don't violate the law. We know that the bad guys violate the law. We know that the bad guys are going to carry guns in the bars no matter what laws we pass. And that's going to play out, and that's going to continue to play out as it's played out in throughout the course of time. But the bottom line is the law-abiding gun carriers are not going to engage in illegal behavior, and that's the good thing we have on our side, and that's just a fact that we will live with.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's just one of the things. And as I have said before, not so much on this program, but in other forums, none of us is as smart as all of us. So the more we are able to discuss these issues openly and without angst, express our opinions and go to the issues rather than go to the personalities, attack the issues, throw the issues into the arena of ideas and let them get beat up out there. And not take the ideas personally, not say, well, because you disagree with me, you're obviously some kind of an idiot or a fool or whatever. I certainly don't ever believe that, and sometimes people have told me I give them that impression. That's partly because I believe pretty passionately in what I believe, and the reason I do is because I've thought through those issues, and I've considered the facts, and I've considered the logic behind the situation, and I have a pretty good answer, a pretty good idea that what I'm thinking is probably correct. But I know one thing is for sure, that I don't always have the correct answer. And the more input that we can get on these issues, the better it's going to be for all of us. Because the more informed a decision we can make, the better that decision will be. And I think that's part of the problem that we have with discourse in our political society right now, is people aren't listening. They're only talking. They're making their talking points. They're making their views known, but they're not listening to what the other side has to say. And they're not looking for an answer that answers the concerns that people have that stand behind their position that they have. And I, that's the reason, one of the reasons anyway, why Jeff and I wanted to have this program and to open up the forum to discuss things about firearms that often don't get discussed.
We've been on the air about 3 years now, and I've welcomed the opportunity to allow the anti-gun people from the anti-gun movement to call in and talk about their issues, and I still extend the invitation because that side of the argument needs to be heard. We don't agree with it. We'll give you the opportunity certainly to wage your argument, and we just ask that you support your claims. And the good thing, I just want to speak on our behalf. We support our claims with documentation and with fact. And that's why it's easy to argue. Mark and I, we've talked several times how easy it is to conduct the show because we don't have to try to mill stuff up to support our claims, because it just plays out time and time again on the related issues.
We need to take a kind of a hard break right now and wrap things up because we're about out of time for today. So let me give you a little bit of information on how you can get more from us if you'd like. We have a website at sim-trainer.com/radio, which is the website for our radio show, and we have all our podcasts there. So if you have a podcast listener, an iPod or some other device that you listen to things on offline, you can download previous shows and put them there. We do have a podcast link. If you'd like to actually subscribe the podcast, you can do that. We do have a Facebook page as well. There's a link to that at sim-trainer.com/radio. And then also on the Sim Trainer page, sim-trainer.com, you can get all the information about the classes, memberships, different opportunities to come shoot, when our hours are, phone numbers, and email address. If you'd like to contact us here at the show, give us an email at radio@sim-trainer.com or call the range at 293-3914. That's area code 937-293-3914. This is Independence Day, and we want you to have a wonderful time remembering that it was in support of the Declaration with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence that we mutually pledge to each other, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That's the foundation on which this country was built. And remember that today as you celebrate Independence Day 2011. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip, going into the news at the top of the hour on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News.